Now, we've been working our way through the book I Will by Tom Rainer. And if you're visiting with us, these are not my normal style of things. Normally, we'll pick a text from Scripture and kind of work our way through that. And we do a little bit of that with this also, but we're challenging ourselves in our behaviors and the things that we do in the people that we are as to what it is to be church members. And we talked a lot about that a year and a half ago. And as we've adjusted our attitudes, then the next question becomes, well, now what? What is it that I need to do as a result of that? And I skipped this one a couple weeks ago because of what we're doing today. I thought it fit well. I will give generously. Now, I should have held the baskets back until after we were done, just in case anyone changed their mind. Or maybe we were safer this way because you're going to be upset with me because I talk about giving. Preachers don't like to talk about giving. And I have yet to meet one who gets excited about it. There are some that are kind of neutral on it, but for the most part, we don't like to talk about it because you don't like people in your money business, and I don't either. I don't want people to know how I spend the money. I don't want people to know, although I confess it from time to time, that we eat out entirely too much. I don't want people to know that sometimes when I'm in a parking lot and someone starts up a new Dodge Challenger and I hear that, I want one of those. I want a car that makes those noises. I get caught up on stuff too. I don't always spend my money in a wise way, and I get it. I understand. And so I hesitate sometimes to talk about these things, and yet at the same time, this is an important part of who we are as Christians. And so for some of you, as you hear this, this will reinforce what you already know. And this is not something that necessarily will need to bring about a change in how you do things. Now, for some of us, we probably do need to hear this. There have been times in life that I have not given what I should give. And I had a number of excuses for that. When the student loan bill came, I was giving out of force because I had to. When the taxes were taken out of my check, I was giving because I had to. When the bills piled up and we weren't making a lot of money, I was giving because I felt I had to. What is it that we need to give? What is the right amount? And for a lot of places, they will tell you, well, this is the amount you need to give. And I don't think that's what we're going to be driving towards today. But I want you to think a little bit about your giving. And also with the understanding that probably all of your giving does not take place in these baskets. You probably give to other things, other causes, other people who are in need of help. You might have family members that you help along the way, neighbors, whoever it might be. And so we all give in different ways, but I hope we are people who give generously. Now, Jesus will talk about it this way in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Which will bring us to the question, where is our storage? And we can drive around town, and from place to place, we will see storage units. And those storage units, you will pay a monthly fee, and you will have something with a big garage door on it that you slide up, and it's got a padlock, and you will put in that storage unit the stuff that you don't have space for in your own home. And we have tinkered with this idea several times since moving here because we moved from 2,200 square feet to 1,200 square feet. And we suddenly realized we got to get rid of a lot of stuff. And then we started to think about, well, what if this stuff even matters to us anymore? And we started having some really serious conversations about what do we need and what do we not need. Now, at the same time, if you were to walk into our place, there is one closet door that I will pray you don't accidentally open. Because if you do, it may be your end that day, because things are going to start to come out on you. And we don't go into that closet unless we have to. And I think to myself, the stuff that is in that closet probably doesn't matter, although it seems incredibly important. Where are we storing up? Where is our storage place? Is it here or is it somewhere else? And it starts to bring the challenge into our minds of, is it wise to save? Absolutely. Do you need to plan for your retirement? Sure you do. Do you need to take care of your bills? If you want to continue to be here every Sunday, yes you do. But at the same time, do we get carried away with those things sometimes? Do we store too much? Do we go overboard? Does our focus go to the wrong place? He continues and says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also," which brings us to the question, where are our hearts? What is it that our hearts are truly yearning for? Is it stuff? Is it things? Is it money? Or is it the things of God? And I will tell you that sometimes this can be a challenge for us because there's a lot of neat stuff out there. And there are a lot of things that we will watch commercials for on television where they will convince us that we need this to make our lives better. There are a lot of products out there that claim to be life-changing. There are a lot of things that we want that we assume if I just get that, everything will be fine. Or maybe for you it's an amount of money. Maybe for you it's, if there are this many digits within my bank account, I feel okay and I don't have to worry. It's very easy for us to take our focus in that direction. And again, this is a thing of balance. I'm not suggesting that we all get to a point where we try to zero that thing out every month and just live by the skin of our teeth. But at the same thing, how much is enough? Does there come a point where there is enough that we can not be worried, that we cannot be overly concerned, and that we can just focus in on the things of God instead? So he starts with, where are we storing? And then goes to the question of, where are our hearts? Continuing on, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So where is our storage? Where are our hearts? And now, who is our master? And I think that most of us have one, whether we will acknowledge it or not. There are things we will schedule around. There are things that we will decide our spending around. There are things we decide our time around. And most of us are guilty of this at one point or another. So with a group of people helping Regan move yesterday, and I said to Mike in the midst of all that, I have had more things scheduled against Alabama football this year than any time I can ever think of. No offense, Regan. Glad to help you move. Although once we got the TV hooked up, that was the channel we tried out, by the way, was the Alabama football game. I tend to sometimes schedule around that. I will look at my calendar and think, okay, do I want to commit to anything on this Saturday? Because are they playing? Is it a big game? What's going on? We do that with our money, too. You get paid whenever you get paid, and you start to think of, okay, I've got to spend this, I've got to buy this, I've got to buy this, I've got to buy this, I have to pay this bill. I'm hoping there will be enough there at the end to do something else. And my question for you is, as you're listing all those things off, is giving in there somewhere? And if it's not, I hope if you leave with nothing else this morning, that you are challenged to put it in there. Part of the reason why preachers don't like to talk about this is we want to make very, very sure that you understand that we're not the reason we're talking about this. Because I understand that magically somehow stuff goes into that basket and on the first of the month I get a check with my name on it. And that's not why I'm talking about this. And I'll let you in on a little secret, elders, I'll close your ears for a minute. I would probably still want to do this even if I were paid far less to do it. I like getting to talk about God. It's not about me. And I will tell you even more than that, it's not about the bills the church has to pay. And I get that we have to do that, and the power bill and all of those things that come along. It's about the work of the kingdom of God. It's about the fact that we can do something like we're going to do with these boxes here in a few minutes. It's about the idea of spreading the gospel around the world. It is not about paychecks. It's not about power bills. It is about our relationship with God and the fact that Jesus talks a fair amount about giving, which tells me it's something that matters. And like I said before, that doesn't mean it's all happening in these baskets that we pass around here, but do you have a spirit of giving in your life? Is your nature to want to give generously? Or is your nature to want to hold back because of fear of how are we going to pay for, how are we going to do? Because I will tell you, what I have found with God is, when we are in a spirit of giving generously, those things tend to work out. When we're in a spirit of giving generously as a church, and there's a challenge for us there too, because we look at bottom lines and giving and budgets and all of those things, when we give generously as a church, things tend to work out. The money that we don't know is if it's going to be there tends to be there, which we'll lead to here in just a second. Remember this in 2 Corinthians. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. So we reap and sow, and those things are related. Now, I will tell you, I think that's an encouragement to us in the sense that we will be blessed in a way. I hope that's not the reason we give. I hope we don't look at God as a good return on investment, and so we're going to try to give as much as we can so we can get as much as we can, although he does tend to bless. But we should give as we have decided to give in our hearts. I can't tell you what that number is. I know in Old Testament days, they came up with 10% as a guideline. Maybe that's it for you. Maybe it's not. I have known people who have said, let's not talk about the tithe because it's an Old Testament word, and it limits people. We don't have to worry about limiting people to 10% in churches today. On average, it's something more like 1%, 2%. I don't know what the number is for you, and maybe the 1% or 2% would be a challenging gift for you, or maybe the 10% is not enough. Maybe there's something beyond that that you could be doing and giving. I don't know. But for each of us, we need to think about this in our hearts and decide, what is it that God wants us to give? And I will tell you something else, not necessarily just of our money, although that's a big piece of it, of our time, of our talents, of our abilities. There are lots of ways that we can be giving people and not just people who want to keep everything to ourselves. All the way down to the widow that we see Jesus encounter who puts in the 2 coins. Very much in the grand scheme of things, no. Very much to her, absolutely. And still important that she does. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What is our attitude towards giving? Now, I think when it is hands-on things that we can see and get excited about, our attitude about giving is pretty good. I love to go back and look at old Christmas videos from when our kids were small and see the excitement on their face by something that costs 10 bucks and knowing that they're not that excited about something that costs 10 bucks anymore. But to watch just that, the thrill. I love to see these kids in the video as they open their boxes. I love to see people, every now and then I can actually pull one over on my wife and surprise her with something she's not expecting. I love the excitement on her face. Think about our attitude toward giving and when we can see the result immediately. That's what makes it a little bit harder, I think, in church life, is we don't see that immediately. I don't get excited knowing that a chunk of what I give is going to eWeb. No offense, eWeb, and I appreciate what they bring to us, but that doesn't excite me all that much. Now, when I think about a piece of what I give going to Mountain States Children's Home, I get a little more excited. When I think about a piece of what I give helping people go to Round Lake during the summer, a little more excited about that. What is it that changes our attitudes toward giving? And if you don't get excited when that basket comes by, I hope we can start moving in that direction where we think, I'm doing something worthwhile here, doing something relevant here. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God is able. Now, let me explain before we get completely carried away. What God does not say here is that God is going to blow everyone's mind with the amount of money you're going to get in return. Now, could that be the way he chooses to bless some of us? Absolutely. And because of wealth, there will be families that are fed. There will be people that go to college that can go to college otherwise. There will be people that get Bibles in their hands in foreign countries. There will be all kinds of things that can happen as a result of wealth. But at the same time, not all of us will find the blessing of wealth. We might be blessed in other ways. But we know that God is able to do what he says that he will do. So, wrapping all this up as best I can, and I actually said last week I would go shorter, and I think we are. The title of this chapter in the book was I Will Give Generously, and I like that, but I kept finding myself looking at it quickly and having another thought come to mind every time I can look at it, which is, I will live generously. And I hope that we can be people that will be a little more like this. I will live generously, which is to say, can each of us give the same amount as the person next to us? Probably not. Should each of us give the same amount as the person next to us? Probably not that one either. But is each of us blessed by God in some way to give something as our heart is purposed? And I would say to you, the answer is yes. Are we going to start living lives that are generous lives? Are we going to think less about our schedules and the way we had planned to spend the money and more about maybe the needs that we see around us? Are we going to think a little less about the thing that I want and must have and that commercial for whatever that is drawing you in, and instead think about how can I use this money to bless someone else? And that's a challenging change in thinking. But I will tell you something, that is the way that Jesus lived. Jesus didn't live in a way that when people came to him in need for something, that his response was, again? Seriously? These people not plan ahead? I'm on my break right now. This is the only day I get off during the week. And I say that because I've had a lot of those thoughts go through my head at different times. And I imagine a lot of us probably have. But what if we begin to change that mindset, that we will be people who live generously? Now this morning, I've taken all the guilt away by planning this at the same day we're going to pack boxes for kids. And if you weren't living generously when you showed up, you're going to live generously before you leave. And we've put the opportunity in your hands here in just a few minutes. I hope it will make you think for a minute about what's really important in life, about where we're storing up, where our hearts are. Because the thought that these random things that someone has planned for us to put in these shoe boxes are going to go across the world somewhere, and some child will open them, and it will be life-changing for them in that moment to know that they are loved and cared for and have this box in front of them that they wouldn't have had under any other circumstance. Man, what if our lives were that simple? I look at people in other places that have so much less than we do, and I think, man, maybe sometimes they're actually the ones who are blessed. I think a lot of times we will sit back and think, well, man, if they had this or this or this, how much better would they feel? And I think, what if we didn't have to worry about all that stuff? What if it wasn't a constant people standing in line wrapped around the Verizon store for the next iPhone? What if it wasn't the next big thing that we had to have? What if it wasn't the bills that we had to worry about, but instead we could just live generous lives? And I will tell you that if we believe God is able, as Paul has just told us in 2 Corinthians, then that life is possible here too. We can stop centering in on all the stuff and all the money, and we can instead center in on God. And this morning, if that is something that resonates with you, I guarantee you, you are not alone. We get wrapped up in the wrong stuff. This morning, if you think I need to live more generous, it's probably not the kind of thing that lends itself to an invitation, but at the same time, if there are ways that we can help each other, we are glad to do that. If you would like to take on Christ in baptism this morning, we'd be happy to see that happen too. If you have any needs at all, please come while we stand and sing.